We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful New York City, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm great, Ty, and I know what people are thinking while listening to the show. Mm. We just recorded a super long show and chopped it in half. But no.
Nope.
Let's go through some modern headlines. I saw Deontay Wilder complain that his suit was 40 pounds and that really hurt his legs, and that's one of the reasons he lost to Tyson Fury. How would I know that if we were recording this?
Ah.
You see what I'm doing here?
I saw that today. A fellow by the name of Dick Pound was trending on Twitter.
Yeah, every so often his name does trend. coronavirus is wreaking havoc, and I this is my take. I wish it would go away.
Yeah, I think that's all right. That's all right. That's how we prove it. Hello, welcome in.
Yes.
I'm Ty. He's Dan. This is the Solid Verbal. It's a college football show most of the time.
Yeah.
You can get in touch with us at solidverbal@gmail.com. You can also follow us out there on various social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual hotspots. Don't forget to subscribe to the show if you haven't already. And if you consider yourself a super fan, please go on out to the subreddit. It's solidverbal.reddit.com. Contribute to that conversation, which rages long after the final bell of the show. And I would also encourage people, if you haven't already, to fill out our survey. It's solidverbal.com/live. Dan and I are in the early stages of putting together our live tour for this coming August. We've got a lot of interesting responses. I don't want to peel the curtain back too far, but Kalamazoo, Michigan, doing really well in early polling.
Is that true? I wonder if the U.S. Open junior hard courts are still in Kalamazoo. That's my reference point for Kalamazoo.
Let's put it this way. If somebody from Kalamazoo could figure out how to put Kalamazoo on the form that gave you no space to put Kalamazoo, you earned it.
So before we go into our, because this should be reflected in the title of the episode. This is the off-topic portion of the Q&A, the February Q&A. It's still February as we record this. There are a couple of news items that we should get to that are on topic, right?
That's right. We should. So we have breaking news.
Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop.
Let's start here. Georgia has hired away Alabama strength and conditioning coach Scott Cochran.
Ooh. Leading a college football show ahead of spring, just after signing day, with strength and conditioning / it appears not strength and conditioning news.
Well, that's correct. And that's because Scott Cochran has had an outsized influence on that Alabama sure. program. Now, he's been hired by Kirby Smart over at Georgia to an on-field role as special teams coach. He can now recruit off campus. He could sprinkle in some of his magic program management, pixie dust all over Georgia mm-hmm. and the Georgia program, the stuff that we've been hearing about for eons now at Alabama Dam. But how worrisome is this for Alabama? I saw some headlines. I saw some tweets about, wow, is this the first real loss for Nick Saban that's going to make a mark on the program?
Sure.
He's had a big impact, as I said at the top. But how do you feel about what kind of impact this might have on that Bama program?
Well, I don't even know if that's necessarily the case, because Alabama's defense under the tutelage of both Nick Saban and Kirby Smart was consistently better than it's been these last few years since Kirby Smart departed for Athens. But yeah, it's a pretty significant loss because, as we know, the strength and conditioning coach is with players, is with a lot of staff, perhaps more often than the head coach actually is. Nick Saban famously, you know, he does his thing from atop Alabama mountain, and he doesn't really concern himself in the way that a lot of coaches don't with the day-to-day of players. And Scott Cochran, he's one of the few coaches, I was reading a piece from Aaron Suttles of The Athletic, one of the few coaches that Nick Saban actually lets talk to the media. He's on the Jumbotron during games on third and fourth down to get the crowd pumped up. So he is a super public-facing part of a generally pretty private Alabama football program. And a lot has been talked about. Andy Staples also wrote a really good piece about, you know, when players come in, these five-star guys come in and they don't immediately play. You know, you see this with other programs. They transfer. They want playing time. They're used to playing time. Alabama does a really good job of convincing them to stay and learn and develop. And I think a lot of that credit goes to Scott Cochran and the buy-in that he's able to get from the myriad of blue-chip players that arrive at Tuscaloosa. So from a day-to-day program management and just keeping guys focused from a mental standpoint, obviously from a physical standpoint in strength and conditioning, to move on to Georgia. And apparently there were rumblings that he was looking to do something new and that, you know, he's long had a really positive friendship with Kirby Smart. I think their wives are friends. So I think there's probably a human element of this. And, you know, who wouldn't want to live in Athens, Georgia? It seemed like this is a path that he's been looking to take. Lane Kiffin, like supposedly, allegedly offered him a similar role at Ole Miss. And the timing is suspect. I don't know what you make of the timing this coming after signing day.
That was going to be my next question because the timing.
What do you make of it?
I don't know what to make of it, to be perfectly honest with you.
Okay.
You know, you see the tweets, you see the headlines. And I guess you first start to wonder, like, well, what does he know? Or what does he... What makes him motivated to make this move now as opposed to a more normal time to turn over in the coaching world? I don't know. I don't really know what to make of it.
So on one end, one possibility, which seems to be more likely, is Kirby Smart intentionally did this to kneecap Alabama to a maximum degree because it's off-season workout time ahead of spring practice, and this really throws everything into flux. Now, Alabama obviously has assistant strength coaches that can step in and run things until Nick Saban makes a replacement hire, and it's an incredibly important hire. On the other hand, it could be looked at, and maybe this is looking a little bit too glass half full, that do it after signing day, get the momentum going with offseason training before leaving, and you know, Scott Cochran doing it by Nick Saban's terms as a show of loyalty.
Right.
But also to go against that.
I know where you're going next.
When everything came together, he was simply escorted out of the facility, perhaps to prevent a Kirby Smart situation. And it's been reported that Kirby Smart took a picture of Alabama's recruiting board on the way out to tell potential now Georgia recruits how low they were on Alabama's board. So to prevent subterfuge, I'm probably mispronouncing that. But it seems like we're making perhaps too big a deal over a strength and conditioning coach making a move. But he is, you know, he is the standard in the sport, it seems.
Yeah. Well, more to come on this. It doesn't sound like Kirby Smart and Nick Saban are going to be getting together for, you know, tea and crumpets anytime soon. So
sure,
we'll see how this plays itself
interesting,
out.
And Andy Staples wrote about this, about how if Scott Cochran has head coaching aspirations, this is the path.
Yeah.
You know, you're a Giants fan. They just hired a special teams coordinator, right?
Well, Joe Judge. Yeah.
Joe Judge, from New England.
Whatever.
John Harbaugh, a special teams coordinator. So if he does have head coaching aspirations, making the leap from strength and conditioning to head coach seems a bit too high. So I don't know. I think the tight ends coach at Georgia has some special teams coordination experience. So this is just, if nothing else, a team with seemingly unlimited funds bolstering its staff in a way that not a lot of teams can. Wow. Incredible.
The only other story we have here, and I must come clean.
Yeah.
We have been doing this show religiously since 2008 now.
Yeah.
Correct?
That sounds right.
Would you say that on average, I'm better than most at keeping track of college football news during the season, in the off season, et cetera, et cetera?
I'd say so. Yeah. I mean, this is we're paid handsomely by mattress companies and beer companies and flower companies, sometimes strawberry companies.
Yeah.
To do so. So, yeah, I'd argue. Yeah.
I completely missed this story. Okay. Not even kidding. I'm not even going to fake it. I did not know about this until I popped open our Google Doc, our super secret Google Doc. Colorado hired Carl Durrell?
Yeah, there was a lot of L's and R's in that sentence. They did hire Carl Durrell.
Is it 2007 all over again? What is this?
So, Carl Durrell has been largely an NFL assistant. He was at Vanderbilt in 2014. And there were there was smoke about Troy Calhoun of Air Force and Sark from now Alabama and Darren Shiverini, the internal candidate from Colorado. There was smoke about Brett Bielema, all sorts of names. And then I don't know if everybody looked at Colorado and said, yeah, I think we're good. And they had to really fall back to a candidate they knew would say yes. But for whatever reason, and he may succeed, they looked at Carl Durrell, who has not been a head coach or a coordinator in some time, especially in college. And that Vanderbilt offense was not good.
It wasn't good at all.
They look to Carl Durrell and say, he will take the job, and so we are going to hire him, who I don't think had a losing regular season at UCLA, which seems more impressive by the day, but not somebody that immediately wows you with his potential.
You think?
I'm trying to be kind.
You think?
Especially in the wake of Ed Orgeron winning a national championship, leading LSU. And, you know, looked at as potentially an also-ran that was not good enough for the USC job. And then proving everybody wrong, takes the interim LSU job, gets the permanent job, and takes them to a national championship. Anything is possible.
Yes.
Wow. Not at LSU, I guess, at a little bit. At Colorado, if the national championship level Carl Durrell story is consistent 9-3, challenging for the South pretty often.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at a list of 2006 head coaches who have not since succeeded, and it's a long one time.
I mean, here's the thing.
Yeah.
How far down on the list was Carl Durrell? How far down on the list was he?
I would say at least seventh.
This is something I think about a lot when I'm watching commercials. We can go back to our Eckridge sausage example.
Yeah.
Like, how many other names did they have to cross off before they got to Reese Davis? And I love Reese Davis, no disrespect, but
sure.
He is not the person I think of when I'm thinking of a sausage spokesperson, right?
Can we get Reese? We can get Reese? Let's do Reese.
How far down on the list is Eckridge going? How far down on the list did Colorado go? Seventh feels about right, maybe a little high, but Carl Durrell is a name from the past. He did not leave on great terms at UCLA. He was a very average coach. He did win a Sun Bowl in 10 games, one year. But
yeah,
outside of that, it was not exactly a sparkling regime. I seem to remember pretty vividly UCLA fans were very happy to go in a different direction. So, yeah, I can't imagine there are many at Colorado who are excited about this move. I guess it's good you have a name, you can move on, and maybe he's just a stopgap. I'm sure he doesn't see it that way, but nonetheless, this is not an excitable hire by any stretch.
Here are some other coaches who went 6-7, 6-6, or 7-6 in 2006 when Carl Durrell went 7-6. Larry Coker at Miami. Mm. Skip Holtz, East Carolina, still working. Dirk Cutter at ASU. I think turned around his career to a certain extent. Ron Prince.
Oh, no.
At Kansas State. Bill Doba at Wazoo. Phil Bennett at SMU. Mike Shula at Alabama. 6-6. Rocky Long at New Mexico had a really nice act after that at San Diego State. Glenn Mason at Minnesota goes 6-7. It's Mark Mangino at Kansas, 6-6. Seems like a different era.
Yeah.
Because it was.
I don't know.
It does seem like a name that maybe there was another Carl and the phone. There was a phone book error. There was another name. There was a Kevin or a Kurt, something, or a Kirk. Maybe they thought they were hiring Kirk Ferentz. I don't know what. I'm rooting for it. I'm a Pac-12 fan. I'd like for the South to be a much deeper division than it looks to be right now of quality teams. But yeah, out of nowhere. Hope it works.
I don't get it. I shouldn't comment on this because I missed it. And I've done no research on it. But I quite literally missed this until seeing it 5 to 10 minutes ago. So,
and you know what? He could hire a killer staff. But also, we're recording this in very late February. And that is not necessarily a time to hire a killer staff.
No.
So he's going to have to get creative. He has a little bit more money than Mel Tucker had for his assistant pool. He's making himself a little bit more money than Mel Tucker because at this stage, there are some premiums that need to be paid out.
Would you have offered to pay Scott Cochran to be the head coach of Colorado with no experience before going to Carl Durrell?
No, I wouldn't. But I'm trying to think of who I would.
I think I would have.
You would have gone Scott Cochran for...
Why not?
A lot less.
Yeah.
Presumably, he made 600 before bonuses at Alabama. Would you pay Scott Cochran 2.1?
No.
1.3?
No. Offer him a dirt cheap rate and see if he takes it to be a head coach.
One even just for... Yeah.
You know the guy can develop guys in the weight room at a minimum, right?
No, I mean, he's essentially
connected.
Running a program for the chunk of a year. Yeah.
He's connected. He can hire a staff.
Oh, God.
It's a good question.
Scott Cochran or Carl Durrell? I think I'd still rather have Carl Durrell.
Oh, man.
But, wow. Okay.
Write in. Let us know.
Colorado's still a big school.
It's just a big job. It's hypothetical. You know what we do on this show.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Let's get into our emails, Dan.
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
You've got mail on the Solid Verbal.
So as often as we can, and especially during the offseason, we like to pay homage to those of you who write in at solidverbal@gmail.com, to those of you that post on the subreddit, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Yeah, all of those hotspots. We have gathered questions. Now, the last show we did a week ago was primarily centered around the great sport of football and college football and just sports in general.
Mm-hmm.
Inevitably, we get non-football questions or questions that are tangentially related to football. And because we had so many last week, we've decided to essentially break the mailbag up into two. We put our hand down the middle. We push the non-football ones off to the right. The pro football ones off to the left. And today's show is the non-football variety. Yeah.
Did you say pro football?
Yeah, you know what I was trying to do.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Don't get cute with me. You know what I meant.
Yeah.
So, where do we want to start here, Daniel?
Did I catch a niner in there? So we're done talking college football, basically, for this episode. Thank you for listening to the first part of our show and to hear Ty say he'd hire a strength and conditioning coach ahead of an experienced head coach.
I would
Thank
do it.
Thank you for the download.
I'd do it.
Okay, well, this is a good ease into the episode. Matt wants to know, what's the best slash most productive way to enjoy the off season so I don't then feel bad for spending 4 months at the end of the year just following college football?
Ooh, boy howdy, this is a question.
What are you doing, Ty? Don't just talk about the hypothetical listener, Matt. Mm. What are you doing, even though we still do a lot of college
football? Even though I didn't know about Carl Durrell, but I will not be held responsible for that.
Yeah. What are you doing to maximize your mid-January to late August?
Well, I mean, it's good to not have to record 3 days a week.
Yeah, I disagree. I really like talking to you.
So. No, I like talking to you. We talk every day anyway.
It's true.
But it's good to not have that extra stress
on the
system. Yeah,
you're up late. Yeah, true.
So that I think, is kind of the table stakes for this discussion. But no, I think what I'm doing mostly is trying to decompress on weekends, because during the season, that four-month stretch that we have, you know, weekends are almost off limits. It's impossible to go out and do things kind of like a normal person would, because we got so much football to watch. So I am really just trying to get the most out of my weekends at the moment. People always ask me, are you reading any good books? Are you listening to other podcasts? What are you doing? The answer to all of that is no.
Are you doing?
No, I'm not doing any of that.
Enrich your mind.
No, I'm chilling out just for some period of time before I get bored. That's what I'm doing right now.
You're watching Cheer on Netflix is what you're telling me.
I did watch Cheer. I recommended Cheer to you, which apparently you really like.
Yeah, I haven't finished it yet. So yeah.
I've gotten caught up in Jack Ryan.
Okay.
On Prime Video. It reminds me a lot of the old 24 days. It's a little bit of 24. There's actually some 24 characters in it. So
yeah,
been watching a little bit of that. I caught up on The Witcher. I don't know if you're into The Witcher or not. Enjoyed it.
Okay. What I would say to do is, you probably are not in great shape during the season. You're probably not physically in the same place because you're spending a chunk of your free time sitting on a couch watching football, presumably. So figure out a way to, try to eat a little bit healthier, a little cleaner, maybe go for some more runs or bike rides, or join a sports league, a rec league of some kind, if you know you're able to. I think that's probably bare minimum. I would also say just go on more Wikipedia black holes. Just say, you know what? I don't know much about Belgium. I'm going to just deep dive Belgium. You don't need to read a book, but like, I want to learn more about Belgium. I want to learn more about sunken boats. I want to learn more about the different levels of the atmosphere. I want to learn more about Jupiter. That would be something that at least you could occupy your brain in ways that, I'm not going to say it's more productive, but you can sort of drop nuggets at dinner parties a little more often about the history of Brussels. I would go on that. I would watch movies you've always been meaning to watch that you haven't been able to watch. Or maybe if you have a significant other and they have a bunch of movies that they love and you haven't watched, maybe do something like that. I would try to travel a little bit more. I would maybe do crossword puzzles if I had more time.
Do you want to work on a side project that we call Nugget Drop? Because I like that.
It's
actually not bad.
I would love to drop nuggets, Ty. You know I love nuggies.
That's actually not bad.
So that's what I would say is make a list of things that you don't have time to do that you've always been curious about. I don't know a lot about World War I. I just saw 1917 and I want to learn more.
Cold fusion. Is that a thing? Yeah, no, I'm in.
No, you don't have to go that far.
I watched Parasite. That was good. Watch that.
Is it good?
I liked it.
I mean, obviously, it just won the Academy Awards. I assume it's got to be decent.
It was good. All right.
Next question.
Joey says, my first wedding anniversary is coming up here in a few months. Congratulations, Joey.
Yes.
Are people still doing the traditional gift thing, i.e. paper for the first year, for example? Or am I okay to maybe branch out and plan a fun weekend getaway? So my first anniversary, we went to Niagara Falls. It was cold as hell.
Yeah.
Cold as hell, but it was a lot of fun. Okay. We did the touristy thing.
You need beef on weck? Isn't that what you're supposed to eat there? Beef on weck?
I definitely did not eat that, no.
Oh, okay. It's sort of like that buffalo style roast beef sandwich.
I am not at all in tune with local cuisines the way you are.
Okay.
Fun fact. But we went to Niagara Falls. It was cold as hell. It was very touristy, so we ended up driving around Canada, drove up to Toronto, checked that out. So I don't know even what the tradition is for the first year, but if you have a chance to branch out and plan a fun weekend, I would just say do that, Joey.
to what I have found to be the case, and everybody's spouses are different. It's more about just showing you remembered, showing you're thoughtful. If it's a matter of finding your spouse's favorite donuts and you write a card that's heartfelt, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. If it's a weekend getaway, you don't need to adhere to anybody else's traditions. Do what you feel will be thoughtful for your spouse and go from there. That's always a winning formula, Ty.
It's like when college football a couple years ago decided to put its most important games on New Year's Eve. And then Bill Hancock said, you know, we're about establishing new traditions. Joey, you should be too.
That worked out perfectly.
Yeah. Perfectly. You should be too.
Take your romance cues from Bill Hancock. That's when in doubt.
Andy says, after Tom Fornelli name-checked you this week, which three players would you offer his Lion-Eye in exchange for him joining the pod? So did I miss a joke here?
No, I think Tom Fornelli, who does a fantastic job covering the sport,
yes,
said something about the solid verbal, maybe something about you and your velvety tones. And it seemed positive. I don't know. I have not heard it. But we got this tweet and a couple emails from a few people. So it seemed like it happened. How would you make Illinois better, I suppose, in order to pay back Tom Fornelli?
Which three players?
Him joining the solid verbal?
Him joining the solid verbal as a super sub.
He's got a great thing going as is. He doesn't need us.
He could be a super sub here if you wanted.
Yeah, that's true.
Or he can knock one of us off and take over, whatever. Which three players would we offer his Lion-Eye in exchange for him joining the pod?
Yeah.
So I think Illinois, well, this is probably cliche, but first and foremost, a beast quarterback.
Sure.
I think is very obvious. And I remember the halcyon days of Juice Williams, and to a much lesser degree, when we had all that hype around Nate Shieldhouse.
Kirk Kittner? There's been memorable quarterbacks.
There have been memorable quarterbacks. So a beast dual threat quarterback would be interesting as a starting point.
It can't be somebody you love because they're probably going to get pretty beat up.
Right.
So it's somebody you like, but somebody you don't necessarily want to see really crunch under the pressure that is going to be generated by an Illinois offensive line.
Okay.
Somebody who can handle it, who can physically handle it, maybe has the size to handle that sort of abuse.
So not Malik Zaire. His eligibility is out.
I think he's done.
Okay. Yeah. Any names come to mind for you?
That have the physical size to hold up. Ian Book's a pretty big guy.
Ian Book, though, is not.
Mobile?
He's not the kind of quarterback I'm talking about here.
Midwestern experience?
I mean, yeah, but no, that's not what I'm talking about. It's got to be an excitable dual threat quarterback.
I would say Sam Ehlinger. Sam Ehlinger runs the ball a lot, has held up to a lot of physical abuse, and I think that would be a nice addition for Illinois.
So I think you need the quarterback as a starting point.
Sure.
Sam Ehlinger, okay. I think you also need a star on defense. So you need an Evan Weaver type. Now, he's going pro. Mm. He's gone.
But yeah, he's gone.
Someone like an Evan Weaver. Maybe Micah Parsons, someone of that nature.
I think Micah Parsons is a great answer.
Just a beast. And then that leaves one other spot.
Sideline to sideline.
Do we go offense or defense with that final spot?
I'd probably go offense. Illinois has shown themselves to be more of a running team when they're succeeding. Last year it was just sort of catch as catch can. I'd give them like Panay Sewell or somebody they can run behind consistently, an offensive lineman that can extend some drives on third and short, maybe somebody like that. Outland Trophy winner.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't like to watch my team lose Panay Sewell, but yeah, I'd give them some sort of left guard, left tackle of the future.
No, I'd want to give them a playmaker.
Oh, okay.
Give me some sort of playmaker. I don't know, like Jamar Chase.
Yeah, I'd probably give him Chuba.
Yeah, okay, I could go with that.
I'd go Chuba because he is in that like Bryce Love mold where...
Oh, I got it. No, I got it.
Take a mile.
I got it. Okay. Rashad Bateman. Give me Rashad Bateman.
Okay. Why?
Rashad Bateman from Minnesota. Because then we've got the Ehlinger to Bateman hookup. He's impossible to cover, or at least was against Penn State.
Yeah.
Give me him. Give me Rashad Bateman. I think he's going to be really good.
Next question.
Next, Ty. topic. Let's go to Dylan. What were your wedding registry strategies? Did you focus on upgrades / big luxury items / cash? Okay. Can you do that?
I was for, there's like, there are programs where you can have people put money towards your honeymoon.
Okay.
And I think that's more of instead of wedding gifts, more than wedding registry, but I think it's interchangeable. So I would say we screwed up a chunk of our registry thinking we're like, okay, we're going to be married. We're going to have functions involving cheese plates a lot more often. And I can tell you, we ended up returning a lot of our registered items.
Whoa. So, is this breaking news on the show?
No, I mean, I don't care. Yeah, I mean, wedding registry items are gifts. And so we returned a number of our wedding gifts because we didn't care. Yeah, there were platters. You have to also remember, I live in a small apartment in New York. So
true.
Space is at a premium. I have a very small kitchen. We didn't register for anything bedding wise. I think we got, we got a couple pillows, which were premium pillows. We got some new bath towels. So it was useful stuff. But we went overboard with the entertaining elements of our registries. And that was a regret. That remains a regret. But we got the cash and we could spend it on whatever we wanted at the places we registered.
Well, there you go. I mean, it wasn't for naught. I believe it was Mama H who imparted some wisdom on registry strategies. And her wisdom was to register for stuff that we wouldn't want to buy on our own, but stuff that we knew we would need. So we played it straight down the fairway for things like bedding and pillows and towels.
Premium versions of stuff you already have.
Yeah, you know, more premium version. I'm not exactly...
Don't be bashful.
I'm not exactly living, the life of luxury here, but...
Your thread count on your sheets is so high. How high is it? Ty, you live a premium lifestyle. You don't need to be ashamed of it.
I mean, it's not the... I don't have more than one yacht. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
But, so we did plenty of that. We've gotten a ton of use out of a number of the items that we put on there. We did do the thing with the entertaining. Got a lot of cheese plates and serving dishes and things of that nature. We didn't before we bought the house.
Okay.
But now that we're in the house and we've got more space and now they've actually started to show some of their value. So I think we played it right, but we didn't go overboard in that respect. We got a lot of that kind of kitcheny serving type stuff that we are finding ways to use. We just didn't go over the top and get too much of it that, it's collecting dust.
All right. Next question.
Next topic. Oh, boy. Why do I have a feeling that this is all going to be aimed at me from here on out?
Do you want me to send you? I need to send you an updated link that I'm going to send you via our connection right now. Continue.
Carl says, what percentage of the words on the French Laundry's menu can Ty pronounce? So, okay. What exactly does this mean?
Look on GChat. I just texted you the link of tonight's tasting menu.
Menu. Okay.
Yeah, from the French Laundry, a world-renowned restaurant that I've never been to. I have never had dinner at the French Laundry. Okay. When you look at that menu, is that intimidating to you? Does it excite you? Is it a little column A, column B? Tasting menu means that there is a set... You know what a tasting menu is, I assume.
Yes, of course.
Okay. So a set order of small dishes that will come your way. Starts with oysters and pearls.
Okay.
A sabayon of pearl tapioca with Island Creek oysters.
Okay.
You know what caviar is.
Yes, of course.
Okay. That's the next dish with a dill mayonnaise, pea tendrils.
Okay.
I think you're good here.
Said, how many of these items could I pronounce?
Oh, just pronunciation. Okay.
Satsuma Mandarin Supremes? Supremes? I'm assuming Supremes.
Supremes, yeah.
Cherry bell radishes. I could pronounce radish. Fennel.
Yeah.
Puree. I got most of this
stuff.
Yeah,
you're killing the game on this one.
A la Francais.
Oh, man, I would love to go to the French Laundry with you. I'd love to go to the French Laundry with anybody. Oh, you're pretty good. What about the second to last thing before assortment of desserts?
Oh, boy. Gougère?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, see? Carl.
With Andante Derry Etude. Maybe I pronounced that
wrong.
Is this
Carl Durrell? It could be.
Yeah, it might be Carl Durrell. Okay, next question. We did pretty well.
Ian, hypothetically, I need to redo the bathrooms in my house.
I like this.
I don't know why hypothetically is the qualifier there, but that's a question for another time. He says,
"Yeah,
are there any features you've come across in residential bathrooms that have made you jealous or even made a mental note that you want to copy that?" Oh, I like this question. Thank you, Ian.
Okay. You're our bathroom expert, both in corporate and residential locales.
This is true.
Locales.
This is very true. So I will tell you, I will answer a little bit differently here. There aren't a whole lot of features that I've saw and taken note of. But one that I can tell you, if I redo my bathroom, I won't be getting. Mm-hmm. I will be ripping it out. I will not be using it. And we will use that space better in the updated model. The soaking tub, Dan.
I'm on Japanese soaking tubs Google search page as we speak.
Get out of my bathroom soaking tub.
Yeah, yeah.
Get out.
You don't want a Japanese soaking tub.
I don't want any soaking tub. Just give me...
So a soaking tub is a shorter, deeper tub. It's a sit-in rather than a lounge-in tub.
Right. Just get rid of the soaking tub, the lounge tub, whatever.
Oh, no tub. No tub.
No tub.
Wow.
No tub. Get rid of it.
Okay.
Now, you need to have a tub somewhere in the bathroom, but just not in the master.
Well, this Japanese soaking tub looks amazing.
No. Waste of space.
It's looking about $4,000 worth.
Waste of space. Find some other way to use it.
Well, the soaking tub is smart. It's smaller. It's like a tater tot.
It's a waste of space. It's a waste of space.
You could have it built into your longer shower as well.
Waste of space. Use it for something else.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Now, one feature I have seen, and I'm told that it's actually not that expensive, if you can do the heated floors in the bathroom.
I've had that experience. Yeah.
If you could do
depends
the heated
where
floors.
Where you
live. Yeah. If you live in a cold.
If this gentleman lives. Yeah.
Cold weather city. Or a place that would require heated tiles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told it's not super expensive. That might be something to splurge on.
Right. Have you done a Japanese toilet?
No, but I've heard wonderful things about the Japanese toilet.
The Japanese toilets are something else.
Yeah.
Digital readouts, warm, you know, you got your bum warmer tie.
Yeah, yeah.
Bidet built in.
Mm.
Futuristic Japanese toilets would be pretty high on my list, depending on the budget, of course. That'd be pretty high on my list. Our friend Jeff Schwartz built a house in Charlotte, and he built his bathroom with a urinal in it.
Really?
Because as a taller, larger man, that's a better experience for him.
Right.
For basically the toilet to come to him.
Right, right.
At his preferred height without having to bend over to flush kind of thing.
It's not bad.
So... that's not a bad idea. What about shower nozzle? Would you go that sort of rainforest from the ceiling?
I think I'm
just maximizing water pressure. That's all.
Yeah, I feel like I'm too used to like the 45-degree angle that if it came straight down on me, I almost wouldn't know what to do.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Next question.
Curtis says, best or worst cough drop flavors to have when you have a cold?
I mean, I pound cough drops because my job is now speaking all day. So
that's right.
I have to take care of my instrument. Ty, do you have a cough drop flavor preference?
I like the old standard issue Ricolas. Not a sponsor.
But they have many flavors.
Yeah, just the standard like lemon herb or lemon honey herb, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I do the honey herb. Honey herb or the, I think it's lemon mint. I don't like the cherry. I don't like the mixed berry. The green tea, the cool relief, any of that. No cherry anything.
On occasion, I've done...
honey herb.
I've done some of them that have, like, I guess it's some menthol in them.
I don't know. Packs a punch.
It does pack a punch. So I don't do it frequently, but... all right.
Next question.
This is a really good question here.
I'm ready.
Short and saucy on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
This question has been eating me up inside. It has to do with socks. Are you ready, Dan?
Yes.
What are the rules for socks and when to use a new pair? For example, is it acceptable to use a pair of socks for 20 minutes to run errands and then reuse them later in the day when you go out to dinner? Is there a set time limit before a pair of socks becomes tainted and must be washed? Say you only go out once for 20 minutes for that errand. Are you allowed to reuse that pair the following day? This, I feel, is a question for a generation, and also quite timely because I think Bombas is running ads. If they're not now, they will be soon. So,
great.
Very timely question here, Mr. Rubenstein. What say
you? Love our Bombas. I don't think there's a high and fast, hard and fast rule for sock wearing. I think it depends on your feet. Like if you have a big sweat issue with your feet and that tends to stink up your socks, you shouldn't take chances with borderline sweaty socks. But like as I do when it gets colder, I'll wear two pairs of socks and I'll wear sort of a regular thickness sock. You're just standard cotton sock, whatever. Bombas makes a great one on the first layer, and then maybe a wool sock if I'm wearing thicker shoes for the elements or for the weather. I'll just switch out the initial sock, the inner sock, and I'll keep the other one for a few days at a time. And okay. I'll even do the insides. Like I'll do smell tests and moisture tests, but no, throwing a sock into the dirty clothes every day, that's a lot. You don't need to do that. If your socks are not dirty, if you're not working out, if you're just going to work or doing errands on the weekend and elasticity isn't an issue, push that sock. Push that sock until you feel uncomfortable.
You are essentially deploying a duvet cover sock.
Yeah, I am. I'm as we speak. Yeah, I've got a merino wool from Bombas sock on the outside and then a standard one on the inside.
I, too, rely on the smell test. I also rely on the moisture test.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be a comfortable situation. Can't smell, can't be wet.
What about other items of clothing for you, though? Like a t-shirt that you are not doing anything, you know, I assume it's cold over there in Eastern PA lately.
Sure.
And say, I mean, I assume for the mysterious day job, especially when it takes you to government sites that are sort of under the radar around the world. I know, I understand. You're in more corporate wear.
Correct.
So you don't want to be wearing the same thing because then it becomes sort of obvious that, oh, Ty is wearing the same.
You need a rotation.
Make a joke.
You got to have a deep bench and a good rotation.
I can tell you as a podcaster, as a professional podcaster and sports media weirdo, I can tell you that I will wear pants multiple days in a row. I will not wear t-shirts multiple days in a row, but I won't necessarily put them in the hamper if I haven't done anything exercise-wise or anything that is, you know, it's not a day that made me sweat or something like that. But it's a smell test thing as well. I'm just not going to overwash and overhamp.
All right, fair enough. If you've got a good new pair of socks, though, there's nothing wrong with being excited about wearing it.
Oh,
or finding ways to fit it into your regimen. I'm all about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Someone wants to know about your 10 commandments or however many you might have of cooking / preparing food.
I don't know if I have hard and fast rules for something like that.
It's a loaded question.
I will say, as a relatively new parent, I try and cook what I buy at the grocery store as soon as possible. And whether it's when the solid baby is sleeping or out doing something and I have food, if it's vegetables, if it's meat, if whatever it is, a lot of it is preparing it as soon as possible, because if you let that sit in the fridge for a few days, you're just going to forget about it. There's just too many things on your mind.
Kelly wants to know how many of these.
That's it? I only get one commandment?
Oh, well, do you have any more?
I mean, I got plenty more. Don't cook food. Don't cook food the way you think you should. Like if all your cool friends are saying like you can only eat steak medium rare, no, eat steak however you want to eat steak, but toy around with it, figure out, you know, try the different ways, you know, whether, I know you like your reverse searing, right?
I dabble with different,
you've dabbled methods. In reverse searing or cast iron cooking, whatever.
Sure.
I would say try different methods out for foods because you never know what you're actually going to prefer. I would also say, read up. Don't assume you're an expert on it. Watch YouTube videos. I would say put in some time. If food is something that's relatively important to you, familiarize yourself with the food and cooking techniques. And don't just do what your dad did or your mom did or your uncle did when he made blah, blah, blah. really go for it and see what your preferences are. Learn about you is what I would say.
Learn about you. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other commandments here?
Not that I can think. I have a lot of eating and food commandments, but not necessarily cooking ones.
Okay.
But I'll bring this back to the wedding anniversary question. And I will say, if you don't know how to prepare your spouse's favorite meals or a meal that he or she grew up with that is a favorite, I would say make an effort, be it for an anniversary, Valentine's Day, birthday, whatever, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever. Go out of your way to learn how to master that dish as a surprise. I think that's a great move as a cooking commandment.
All right, let's move on to Kelly here. She wants to know how many of these six movies we've seen.
Okay.
So just give me a yay or nay.
Okay.
Godzilla.
Well, there are multiple Godzillas. I saw the 2014 one.
Okay.
Bryan Cranston. Yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah, of course.
All of them?
No, I haven't seen last year's. Which one was that? Force Awakens?
This last one was
the one that came out in December.
The Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker. Yeah, I didn't see that one. I really liked Rogue One whenever that came out.
Interesting.
That's like a splintered story, right?
Yes.
It was an
offshoot.
Not a prequel. Yeah, it's an offshoot.
It happened in between episode 6 and 7. That was the time.
That was stealing plans for the Death Star because to find the vulnerability, right?
That's right.
Yes. That was a good one. I like that one.
Tremors.
Haven't seen Tremors.
What?
No. Haven't seen it.
What about Bring It On?
Maybe I'll watch it this off season.
What about Bring It On?
Yeah, of course. Come on. We're talking about classic cinema here. Yeah.
What about Saw?
No.
Really?
Why would I want to do that to myself? 2 hours of torture porn? No.
Toy Story.
Yeah, obviously. I've seen all the Toy Stories. What kind of monster do you think I am?
I don't think I've seen all the Godzillas, but I've definitely seen the original. I know
like
I've
from
seen...
the 20s or 30s?
I believe I've seen the original, yes. In
the
a movie
Japanese
class,
one.
Actually.
Oh,
a movie
nice.
Class.
Cool. Good for you.
I've seen every Star Wars. No exceptions. I have seen Tremors. I love Bring It On, weirdly.
Yeah.
I saw the first 3 Saw movies.
What?
And
why?
I've seen every Toy Story with the exception of whatever the last one was.
Last one wasn't that good. I'm a big fan of the franchise. Toy Story 4 left me sort of eh. Why did you see the first 3 Saws?
I don't know.
Were
I
you
just
dating
did.
Somebody super into that kind of thing?
I don't
there
know
isn't a single person. There isn't a single person listening that says to themselves, "I'll bet Ty's into torture porn."
No, I didn't really enjoy them. I just sort of
the
watched
first
them for
some
reason. Yeah, yeah.
Ty, this is the shocker of the episode.
What? That I've seen a movie? I don't know. I just saw it.
You seem like you have such an even keel. Yeah, I'm looking down on people that like these movies a lot. I'm sorry. I can't help myself. I'm just shocked by this.
Whatever. Okay. Who are your favorite comedians?
This is also from Reddit. I guess I would go out of my way to watch a John Mulaney special.
I'm not a big John Mulaney fan.
Oh, love John Mulaney. Yeah. Some on Broadway.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people that love him. And I'm sure. Amused by him for sure, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go out of my way to see him.
I enjoy Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, same.
Good amount.
Same.
I haven't watched Jerry Seinfeld's stand up in a long time, but I know we're both fans of that show.
I've seen Seinfeld live. I like Trevor Noah. I've seen his specials on Netflix.
Trevor Noah's great.
Yeah.
Tom Segura, I like a lot. More recent guy that sort of burst onto the scene in terms of a comedian in a big way. You know what's really good? Seth Meyers' new stand-up is good.
I haven't seen that yet. I'll check that out.
Yeah. I laughed.
All right. So let's do 2 or 3 more here.
Yeah.
Do either of you have stories of running into players or coaches when you were on campus at Penn State or Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
And now that Dan lives in New York City, any fun stories about seeing celebrities or athletes out and about? This question about running into players and coaches at college is electric.
Who did you run into at Penn State?
Oh, I had classes with people.
Kerry Collins?
No, not Kerry.
Did you ever see Kerry Collins?
No. Kerry Collins is way before my time. Way before my time.
I don't know. You're old.
I'm not that old. I had classes with Penn State football players.
Franco Harris?
Not Franco Harris. Still not that old.
Okay.
Why don't you go first?
I had a class with Luke Ridnour, basketball player. One of the most fun players. The basketball games were so fun when I was there. I saw Haloti Ngata a lot. Enormous. Like, you hear the nickname refrigerator for William Perry.
Sure.
That's as close to a refrigerator as I've seen. And there was no fat. I saw him all the time. I would see football players all the time around campus. It's not a huge, huge school, Oregon.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Oh, we would always play. So the original tie, shout out Mike Nagel. I had a radio show with him. And after the show, he and my other roommate would go to the rec center and play basketball. And I am below average at basketball. Those other two guys were a lot worse. And so I would dominate them. We would play 21 on a half court at the Oregon Rec Center. And for a number of weeks on the other side of the court were two Oregon big men working with a coach on post moves. And we would always we would hit a three or something like that playing 21 against each other and turn to see if they saw. I'm around. I got eligibility. I know one of them was Ray Schaefer. I forget who else was the big man on the basketball team. No, not a ton. I'm trying to think of other crossover. I saw Haloti Ngata a lot. I don't know if I had classes with him, but man, that's when you realize that, because I went to a high school where the players look like me, were my size,
right,
and they were terrible. And then I went to college and I saw Haloti Ngata. I was like, hey, thank you for your ability to clog many gaps. So
I had,
but I have New York ones as well, but continue.
I had a class with former Penn State defensive player, former 49er, Anthony Adams.
And sure. Big personality.
Big personality. And, it was a bigger class at Penn State, as a lot of them are. And it was the first day. The teacher was content to end class early, but he said, the only way I'll end class early is if somebody asks a question. Well, nobody has any questions. It's first day of class, right?
Right.
So after about 3 to 5 minutes, I'd say, of very awkward silence, Anthony Adams from the last row stands up, yells out, "Yo, what time is it?"
It is a question.
Teacher answers the question, says you're dismissed. Anthony Adams is in that class. Had that one. Mm-hmm. I had a speech comm class with an unnamed Penn State player.
Uh-oh.
Who very clearly had borrowed his speech from somebody else and wasn't really well-versed in the topic that he was discussing. Wasn't very well-practiced in the speech either.
Was it Matt Millen?
It was not Matt Millen.
Oh.
But let's just say it was a speech on diamonds, and it was very odd and very awkward, but still something that some friends and I talk about to this day.
You don't want to blow this person up all these years, 35 years after going to college?
No, I'm not doing that.
I can tell you, I've seen random famous people in New York, because it's very hard not to. Everybody's sort of crammed in this dumb city. And I can tell you, from a purely superficial point of view, I see a lot of these people, like when I'm out for walks with the solid baby in the morning, when people are just out getting coffee. And not looking like famous people. We're like, oh, wait, that's so-and-so. And I can tell you two people I've seen that are pretty famous that live somewhere within, I guess, a 30-minute walk of my neighborhood, if I had to guess. I saw Kerry Russell.
Okay.
You know, why, that's a yawn from you?
I was yawning. It's been a long day. I've been up since 4 a.m.
That's stupid. I saw Kerry Russell and I saw Olivia Wilde.
Okay.
And I saw them both in the mornings, either with their family or a kid, like coffee, hat, going somewhere, whatever. And I can tell you that even though they probably had not been awake for a long time, they were disheveled. They were, you know, wearing hats and whatever. You're used to seeing them on TV shows with professional makeup and red carpets, whatever. both of them, totally disheveled, stunning. Like, I felt like I needed to take a test to make sure I was of the same species as each of these people. Just absolutely, completely disheveled, probably smelled like we all do, and stunning. Stop me in my tracks.
Interesting. Okay.
So those are two people.
Not a lot of celebrities here in Allentown, but
have you seen any?
Seen some local news guys out and about the town.
Okay.
I'd have to think a little bit more about that one. No one that comes to mind. Final question here from Raul.
I don't even know if I have an answer to this question. This is very complicated.
Yeah, I'll try to read through this as quickly as I can. Thank you for the question, Raul. Final question. He says, my wife and I had our first child. He's currently 9 months old, or she's currently 9 months old. Not long ago. Obviously 9 months. He says, my wife is an ND grad, Notre Dame grad. She enjoys college football. I'm a Florida grad who is much more into college football. We live in Chicago. Now that we have a child, getting away for the weekend to attend a Gator game is much harder. I recently had the idea. I love the construction of the sentence.
There's so much here.
I recently had the idea of incorporating my family life into my college football life. Sounds like he's on the podcast with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran by my wife, who's never been to a Florida-Georgia weekend, the idea of turning the Florida-Georgia weekend into an annual family beach trip in Northeast Florida. The idea was well received. Now, since I have familiarity with the Florida-Georgia weekend, I have full discretion with the planning. My questions are as follows. Which beach in the area should I pick? Should we Airbnb a beach cottage or book a hotel? Should we invite her in-laws, both sets of in-laws, my sister, brother-in-law, their kids? Keep in mind, my brother and I are the only Gator fans on either side of the family. And finally, any tips for ensuring this trip is enjoyable enough for the entire family that it becomes an annual event? This is a loaded question, Raul.
It's a lot.
I am not going to pretend to know the beaches of Northeast Florida well enough to give you kind of a read on which beach you should go to. I would say that if you are going to invite a crowd, if you decide that's something you want to do, I'd probably go beach cottage, where you've got kind of your own living space as opposed to a hotel, which might end up being a little pricier and might not give you, you know, that family feel that I think you're going for here with this vacation. Have you done this sort of thing before?
Yes. Not necessarily around a college football game. I will say the more the merrier in terms of childcare. If you want to go out and watch a game, if you want to go out and just grab some beers, to have somebody in, you know, the baby's room or your hotel room, whatever, that's pretty good. That you have people around that can keep a watchful eye on like a baby monitor or something in the room. That's nice. I mean, you have to navigate more politics of who wants to do what and scheduling becomes weird. The hotel thing is also nice because there is somebody that is going to clean your room. And if you are with a bunch of kids and you got a bunch going on with your own and there's toys and bottles and all sorts of stuff, it is nice to have your room professionally cleaned. Might cost a little bit more. You're right. I don't know these beaches at all.
No.
I will rely on people that follow us on Twitter or Reddit or something like that, solidverbal.reddit.com, to answer what beach in the area, Amelia Island, Jacksonville Beach, or St. Augustine. It's just there are going to be more variables as well, though, the bigger your crowd is in terms of watching something, attending games, whatever. I like the idea because college football, if nothing else, is we celebrate the community of it. We, you know, watching the game, going to games, tailgating, commiserating over group texts. That's the real stuff, Ty. But you're throwing a lot of wrenches in here. You're throwing a lot of wrenches. I would say proceed with caution. I don't know everybody else in your group in terms of how enthusiastic they are about the sport and how seriously they take it. But I can't overlook the convenience of having in-laws around and other people around to help out with childcare. That's pretty great.
For sure. I like the idea of this, and I want to thank you, Raul, personally, for introducing, quote, I recently had the idea of introducing my family life into my college football life, end quote. Thank you for introducing that into the world. I will use that also forevermore.
You have a puppy. You have a puppy.
I do have a puppy.
You know.
Exactly. No, I know. I know how this works. But
yeah,
I will just say that you run a little bit of the risk that Cam Newton ran when he gave his Heisman speech. And I think we diagnosed it as he had good ideas, but he took advice from too many people, which is why it ended up as a beautiful disaster. So don't take too much advice here. Don't think too much about it. I would say start small and focused. Get it down pat if you're going to establish any kind of new tradition, bringing this full circle. And then expand once you're comfortable doing so. But don't try to do it all at once, because that's a recipe for disaster.
I think that's right. Master the small group first. Master your family, whatever, first. And get into a rhythm that way. And then expand from there. That's good advice, Ty.
Thank you, Dan. I think that's a good way to close this out. We appreciate all of our questions. Next week, we're going to be back with presumably a college football-centric show. But we like to do these from time to time. If you've got anything else you'd like to say, we're at solidverbal@gmail.com. Don't forget that live show survey at solidverbal.com/live if you want to help us out. You can also follow us on all the social media channels, all the usual hotspots. Don't forget to check out the subreddit at solidverbal.reddit.com. And if you haven't yet, please do subscribe. Please do rate and review the show. Every little bit helps. We will be with you all off season, Dan. That's all I got for this part duh of our mailbag show.
Okay. Same.
For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein. For myself, Ty Hildenbrand, we'll be back in a week. We'll talk to you then. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.